One of my favourite doctrines, as it were, is this doctrine of the incarnation. And one of the things I love, and what can often happen is we get so caught up with Christmas, don't we, and our favourite carols, and at an emotional level. And sometimes we get to this point, and I wonder if we've really, really comprehended at all what has actually happened. It really is the most incredible miracle that Jesus is both God in all that that actually means. He's God, he is divine, and at the same time, he is human. And I think it is very difficult, if you've got it sussed, let me know, it's very difficult to really get our heads around and comprehend what it actually means. So let's break this down a bit and look first of all at Jesus' divinity, Jesus being God himself. He is incomprehensible. And again, we have to face the fact that we really do not know what God is like other than what he's revealed to us. God is beyond human understanding. And if we ever try and bring him to earth and make him almost a kind of extension of ourselves, we have got it completely wrong. God is God, and he is incomprehensible. And just to try and sort of explain that a little bit, I want you to imagine for a moment that you've never seen an elephant, and you're blindfolded, and there's probably half a dozen of you trying to work out what an elephant is like, okay? Now, somebody is probably going to get hold of the trunk and think to themselves, oh, there's a hole at the end, maybe it's a pipe. Somebody might get hold and touch the tusks and think, well, they're very hard and solid, are they a branch? What are they? Somebody might put their arms around the leg and can hardly get their arms around and think, this is a huge pillar. Somebody might stand at the tail and actually hold the tail and think, is this a rope? Somebody might actually be standing under the tail behind the back legs and getting an awful lot of wind and wondering what on the earth the smell is and thinking, what is this? And each person on their own has not got a clue. I mean, it's one of the reasons why we desperately need each other as Christians to even begin to conceive anything about who God is. That was a trivial little illustration, but I want to sort of put this over this point that we do not understand God. And the only thing we know is what the Bible reveals to us and what he chooses to show us. So let's have a look at something of what we hear the Bible, what these passages and one or two other passages I'm going to refer to as well, what they tell us about this God who we can't understand. Verse 7, he did not regard equality with God, you see, he was equal with God, something to be exploited, but he emptied himself. The word kenosis is the word that is used. It's a tremendous revelation that the God who was God of everything should actually empty himself in order to become human, in order that you and I might understand something of God. Those of you who've read Contact, which I have, I've got brownie points still, and I do read it every month. I love having it still because I have a long connection with this church. And Contact had a wonderful illustration. It's quite a long parable, if you haven't read it, about the geese. And it tells you, and again, go home if you haven't read it and read it, because it tells you about what this incarnation really is. And what else does the Bible tell us? It says in Hebrews 1, verse 3, he radiates God's glory. He is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being. the exact imprint, totally God himself, and then in human form. He makes God visible. Colossians 1 verse 15 says these words, "He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation." I don't know about you, but I absolutely love magic. We've been doing a lot of fun magic tricks all over Christmas and having a lot of fun within the family. But I actually love it when you have these situations where it's a complete optical illusion, isn't it? And somebody is suddenly there, and then they're not there, and then suddenly the curtain's drawn, and the person appears. You get, I don't know about you, maybe you're one of these people that can always work it out. I can't. But you're stunned. You're stunned by what you've just seen, and you think, this can't be true. Something, what's happening? And it's that sense of being stunned is what I believe that we need to be when we're just contemplating the incarnation. This is no magic. This is not some magic trick that God comes visible. It is a reality that we as Christians believe, and it changes absolutely everything. He's the image. He is the exact image of the invisible God. When you see Jesus, when you learn of him, when you know him, when you're close to him, you are close to God himself. But only what he's revealed. Only what he's revealed. So we've looked a little bit at Jesus being divine and being God himself. And the other side of the coin is, of course, that Jesus is very human. Verse 7 in Philippians, he's born in human likeness. He becomes a human being. Isaiah 7 verse 14, the prophesy of what's to come. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child, shall bear a son, and shall name him Emmanuel, which you, of course you know means God is with us. So the prophesy, and so many prophecies in the Old Testament, that God will come in the form of a human being. He will lower himself, he will empty himself, and he will make himself one of us, and then live a life that has humanity. And Jesus, if you read your gospel stories, every bit of humanity is there in Jesus' life. He is really human, as well as being divine. I think for me, one of the things that taught me this truth, when I've mused on it, I suppose was for many, many years, my ministry has not been in within a church. My ministry has been either at Addenbrooke's as a hospital chaplain, and that's where I worked for many years, and also here in this village, working with a charity with the poor and the vulnerable and those who are at the bottom of the pile in many ways. And one of the enormous truths I began to learn in both those scenarios was that Jesus was right there in the midst of it. You know, you go into Addenbrooke's hospital and there's plenty of mess, there's plenty of muddle, but there's plenty of miracles going on too. You are seeing heaven and earth, in a sense, coming together in that hospital. I remember a nurse when I first started working there, and she said to me, "Mary," she said, "don't be too daunted about whether you're meeting professors or whether you're meeting alcoholics." She said, "They all look the same in their pajamas." It's absolutely true. So that kind of really helped. But there we saw God at work. I saw God doing amazing things sometimes, miraculous healings against medical advice, heaven coming to earth. Sometimes the sheer glory of the medical advances, what we have here in our local hospital is something that I don't think we, those of us who live near, quite realize the level of world-beating science. And God is behind all of that. And sometimes there was a mess, and sometimes there was suffering. Sometimes there was difficulty. And it was a bit the same at the charity where I worked in Sawston. We kind of landed in the mess and the muddle, and we often had to learn, how did we see Jesus in this mess? And how did we bring things through? I remember one of the things when I was cutting my teeth on learning, we set up the housing in the village, and there's more and more. I visited them before Christmas, and the growth and the potential is absolutely enormous. Praise God for what he's done in this charity, because I believe God's been behind it all. And your health centre that you have is on charity land. There's so many stories I could tell you of what God's done in this village. And I think it's absolutely amazing. But I remember my first, first lot of tenants had left. And I have to say, they kept cats, and they didn't always keep the place quite as we might have hoped. And I went in my sandals, and the next day I discovered little red lumps. And I thought, oh dear, and it was fleas. And I went back into, and Reg Cullum, who I'm sure you know here in the village, who does a tremendous amount of work here in the community, Reg was a bit of an expert, and he said to me, Mary, he said, you must wear Wellington boots when you go, because he said they can't jump that high. There you are, a tip, if ever you have to go in a flea-ridden place. But in all seriousness, I learnt that Jesus was there. I learnt that I saw transformation. I learnt that I saw him changing things, because we were prepared to get in the mess with people. And I think that's the incarnation in a nutshell. I think that's what it really means. Is that as Christians, we need to get alongside people and get into that mess with people. But how are we going to do it? How do we do it? Because we can't do it in our strength. We can't do it because we think it's the right thing to do. We can only do it when God calls and God actually gives us the means to do it. And I want to just finally have a little look at what happens to us with the incarnation. We've talked about what we might do for others. What happens to us? Galatians 4, verse 4. When the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, that we might receive adoption as children. That's what we have because of the incarnation. Because we believe in who he is, we become his adopted children. That's the promise you have. I expect a number of you, and probably quite a lot of you, have spent Christmas with children. I'm sure you have. I have. And I've mixed between snotty noses and Cinderella dresses. We had it all, because it's Christmas. And it's the mess and the muddle and the joy and the wonder. And I, as a grandparent, looked with love on the snotty nose and on the Cinderella dress. And that's how God looks on you. He looks on you as a child. He looks on you as a child that he's adopted into his family, who he loves beyond measure. And that's why he's come. He wants you to know that incredible reality of the miracle of the incarnation then. And of course, we move on now through the weeks to the next great miracle of the cross and the resurrection. And so believe now. Believe that Jesus is with you. I don't know what kind of Christmas you've had. Whether it's been a good one, whether it's been emotional, it's always an emotional time. It's always huge. But God is right in the middle of all of it. We've lived with mystery and reality. We've lived, I'm sure, over the last few days with stress and wonder, tears and laughter, healing and pain, sadness and joy, chilling and partying. The incarnation has made the colour in our lives. And that will continue, if we want it to, through this year, because you and I are a child of God, made new in him, and it's the greatest gift we could ever receive. Amen. Just like us to pray for a few moments and just think about what that incarnation really means for you. Let it bring healing. Let it bring joy. And so, Lord, we come before you. And I pray now that all of us here might know again in deeper measure what your incarnation really means. That we might know that we are children of God. That we might rejoice in that. And if we're struggling and there's difficulties, that we might know that you're there in the mess and the muddle and the pain. And you are healing and you are changing things. And Father, we look with absolute amazement at this reality of what you've done for each one of us. And we pray that we might know you more and more and see you far more clearly in the weeks and the months ahead. Amen.